So we've come to the end of the series. For those who haven't been here, you know, the School of Kingdom Ministry thing, right? And that always stayed in the back of my head. Finally, I looked into this school and what it was about and stuff. Curious, peaked, and then I heard that the executive director, Putty Putman, he has written a book called Live Like Jesus, and the only thing I heard on the review was that it's about righteousness. And it was like, I don't know if I want to read, but I kept on getting this nudge, buy the book. So I got that, and as you guys have known, that book has really impacted me. Because Putty asked some very challenging questions on it. The book, by the way, it's Live Like Jesus. And what I appreciate most about Putty's writing is that he talks very plain, he's very straight up. And so by the way, so the School of Kingdom Ministry, I've decided I'm going down to Illinois in the end of July because they have the School of Kingdom Ministry, the leadership training for leaders, and because I want to scope it out. Anyway, end of the series, but really it's just the beginning, because here's the deal. If what I have been teaching on and Andy and Tab have been teaching on with regards to this, if this hasn't shifted, if there hasn't been a shift, if something hasn't impacted our day-to-day life, then it's just information that you've heard. You've heard something, but if we don't take it in, it's just information. I would say one of the stronger phrase, if you have ears to hear, then hear the word of God, hear what it's saying. And what that whole phrase means is, you don't hear something just by hearing it in your ears. If it doesn't come into you and change, shift something in your life, you haven't really heard. James, the Apostle James, he says things straight up too. But he says this, he says, and I'm reading from the Message. He says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you're anything. Don't act or like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are and what they look like. So my prayer is that for me, for you, for us, this isn't just nice teaching. Interesting concept. Because if that's all it is, there's better things we could be doing right now. Right? If the kingdom of God is real, if it's really real, then the problem that Job and his three friends and the other guy that joined along, the problem God had with them is that they could talk a lot, but they didn't really understand. They hadn't taken in the whole nature of who God was. He was speaking of things he had no knowledge of. He was saying things because it hadn't gone in here, hadn't gone in deep. So anyway, that's the book. If you don't have it, get it. It's worth the investment. Just a recap of the book. Putty has this question in his book, and it's a great question. Why do we believe God's power in the afterlife is more effective than God's power through Jesus now? That's a good question. Because I got busted on that. That was like, that's me. That when all is said and done then. And Putty's thing is, the work that Christ did on the cross, the resurrection, that is for now. That is for right now. And his whole thing of righteousness, he defines the word very well by saying righteousness means right in being, that our being has been made right. And he takes that back. He goes back, Adam and Eve, you know, the world was created, and finally humanity was created, and they were created, it says they were created in the image of God, their identity, and they were given dominion or authority. Serpent comes along, and what does the serpent go after? One, the serpent says, did God really say don't eat any of the fruit? He just switched, just a subtle shift. And Eve goes, no, he just said don't eat the fruit in the tree in the middle of the garden. Eve says, or if we do, we'll die. And serpent goes, you won't die. Because God knows if you eat the fruit, you'll be just like God. Because Putty says, they're created in the image of God. They're already like God. And they lost their identity. And as soon as they made the decision that they're going to go ahead and eat the fruit that they were told not to eat, They surrendered or they relinquished their authority to the serpent. Hence why Satan has had authority on this earth ever since. The message that Jesus brought when he came to earth was, the kingdom of God is near, right? That was the whole thing. What you'll notice in the Gospels is that the Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, spend copious amount of times on the Passion Week, which is the week leading up to Jesus' execution. But they spend copious amount of time on the ministry or the work of what went on, what Jesus was doing here on earth, and seeing the kingdom come. They spend quite a bit of time on that, and his core message being the kingdom of God. And the two things that were lost in the garden, and the two things are identity and authority, were restored. That's what you see throughout the gospel message, those two things. As you read the gospel stories of what Jesus was doing, those two things were restored. And Putty points out that while the cross speaks of what we are saved from, sin and death, but he says we're missing an important element, which is what we are saved to, which is what the resurrection speaks of. That's what you are saved to. So he leans into this throughout his entire book. So the kingdom. Everybody understands that whole phrase of the kingdom of God? It's not Israel. You understand that? It's not a place. It's wherever God is allowed to rule and reign, that is God's kingdom there. When we submit to God's rule and reign in our life, that's the kingdom of God. Putty says that the kingdom actually, that word kingdom, is more of a verb. I've always thought of it as a noun, right? But he challenges that. He says, no, it's more of a verb, meaning it's the act of God being king here on earth. The whole thing of the kingdom, when we think of the kingdom in the Gospels, is a lot of signs and wonders that are taking place. Walking on the water, feeding 5,000 people, all these signs and wonders that are taking place. And what you're seeing there is what the kingdom is all about. It's us, it's people, it's God bringing what God had always intended for us to this earth. So that's what is going on here. In Matthew 10, and this is, you see this in Matthew when he was sending out the 12, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. But it's that whole thing of the announcement of the kingdom, that God's rule and reign is here right now. Like, really? And the question is, do you believe that here in the core of your being? We see the kingdom as some sort of abstract idea. Can't really put, you know, your finger on it. And that signs and wonders were the proof that the kingdom is real. And Putty goes, actually, the signs and wonders are the kingdom. It's exactly what we should expect. Here's a statement out of his book here I want to read to you. He says, God's rule landed on planet Earth in the person of Jesus, and this is the cause into which we are all drafted. I don't like the word drafted, by the way. Now, maybe for Americans, that they understand that more. But I see it as an invitation. But he sees it as drafted. That's fine. Drafted seems forced, right? He goes on, righteous saved. We're right in being. When you are saved, you're right in being. You're now made right in being. He goes on, the kingdom describes the purpose we have now that we are saved. That's our purpose. And he says, it is our mission statement to extend God's rule over a creation that is out of alignment with God's original design. And then he says, what we see in the life of Jesus is what the kingdom looks like in action. When you read the Gospels, that's what the kingdom looks like in action all the time. That's what it looks like. And so now let's move to the whole thing of the mission of the church. As you know, Jesus, when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, moved in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was given to him, and his message was that that same Holy Spirit would be poured out onto all the followers, under all people in the earth, right? That Holy Spirit would be poured out to those who were following him. That's what would happen. Holy Spirit came into him, and he poured it out onto us, right? That was the whole way things worked. But Putty says, both in the initial description of the church that Jesus gives in Matthew and at the conception of the church that happened on the day of Pentecost, the kingdom, or the mission of the church, is brought to the forefront. The church and kingdom are interlinked. There is no other mission for the church, at least not the church Jesus described. We can easily get the means and the ends confused. To care for the poor or to study scripture. He goes on, the kingdom can come through any of those means, but those means are not the kingdom itself. I think of how many times I have heard pastors, I don't know if I've done it, probably have, probably guilty, talk about the programs in the church as building the kingdom of God. Oops. Those means are not the kingdom itself. Our assessment of effectiveness in the church is nothing other than how much territory we have taken from the enemy. When you heard Phil and Jen talking about what they were doing down in, I don't know why I can't say, Shuapisoa, the sunny side of Brazil, and what Art and Cindy are doing, well, they're both doing different things, but let me speak to Art and Cindy in restoring pastors, in ministering to them, in caring for them. They're allowing pastors to do the work. And that's what Freddie is talking about. You measure the church by how much territory we are taking back. And what you see with Jesus bringing the kingdom, bringing the good news, healing people, feeding 5,000, forgiving people, this, you know, bringing this message all the time, what you are seeing is the authority Jesus is exercising. And the reason there's a battle at the beginning took that, took identity, took authority, and Jesus was coming back and going, no, I'm taking it back. That's what was going on. That's why I mentioned before, remember a few weeks ago I mentioned there was an aha moment for me. Remember when the 72 are sent out to go do the stuff? And they come back going, whoo-hoo, demons, they are cast out. They listened to us. They obeyed us. And Jesus said, don't celebrate over that. Celebrate that your names are written in the book of life. Because your name being written in the book of life is your identity that is restored. That's why you celebrate. Your identity is back. I've restored your identity. Now go. Identity and authority are taken back. And this whole thing of doing the stuff is not just doing some supernatural stuff, going around trying to do that. It is doing what was originally intended for us to do, for people to do. That we would have the authority, that we would see the works of God take place. It's the kingdom in action. Now we're called to do that. And so now the whole thing comes to taking what is our target, what is our goal, what is our aim? As you, as a follower of Jesus, what is your goal? What is your aim in life? Besides the regular stuff, our day-to-day stuff, what is your aim as far as a follower of Jesus goes? Because it has to be, we're not just called to be good Christians and share our faith every now and then. That's not what Scripture says. We are Christ followers, what I've written down here. We are Christ followers on mission, releasing God's activity on the earth through our lives. Making an impact. Making a change. There are times it feels like, you know how we'll talk, we wish Canada was a Christian nation? And I'm not sure the way we came over from Europe was the Christian way to do things. We'll put that to one side. But let's go with the thing about we would like a Christian nation and we'd like the government. You know what I'm saying? But there's something about when you read Scripture, and I think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those guys, and the whole captivity that went into Babylon, and when the other exile that went over into Egypt, and I think of the persecution. You know, Rome took over, you know, that whole Roman Empire, and that swallowed up Israel as well. When you think about, I'm talking as I'm thinking here. The early church, those first 300 years, there was no way they were going to get the emperors to change. Then Israel, that little nation, was just the armpit of the Roman Empire, right? It wasn't the go-to place. It was literally the armpit of the empire. That's all it was. It wasn't a promotion that Pontius Pilate got when he was sent to that place. That wasn't a promotion. And yet the Roman Empire got changed. How? You got to ask the question, how? How'd that happen? The Roman Empire, like, we're talking huge geographically. And I think how it happened was simply the church, person by person, impacting just in their life. Impacting where they lived, what they were doing, bringing the kingdom all the time. And just slowly, this was being seeded into the empire, being seeded. This is how Jesus describes the kingdom as like a mustard seed, which, tiniest of seeds, and yet grows to such an extent that the birds nest in the tree or whatever. And I think that's what happened. Being wherever we are planted here, whatever we do, whatever job you hold, being that right there in your job, in your neighborhood, in your community, with your sports club, your team, whatever you do in this world, and I believe those are seeds that are just being put in, and it makes a huge difference. I believe that. I think. But is this thought that, well, in order to do the stuff, do the supernatural works, or to do any of that, I need to be gifted, and I don't feel gifted. Just don't, right? Or I need to be called by God, and I'm not sensing any call right now. Here's the beauty of it. This is the beauty. And this is things we miss too. Now, this is when the Jewish leaders were trying to kill Jesus, right? Because he was claiming this and claiming that and doing all these different things that he was doing. And people were starting to, you know, flock to them. The Jewish leaders that want to kill him. He says, I'm telling you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. You can read the rest there. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I want that first sentence, though. The Son, Jesus, or you don't have enough whatever, you're in good company. You're perfect for the job. Right? Because you're not required to. It's not about whether you feel like you're a superpower, one of the Marvel superheroes. You don't have to be. It's simply looking, paying attention, and understand, guys, this is where I don't know why, but this is where I really struggle. It's simply doing and then joining the Father in that and together seeing the kingdom come. The reason I struggle, I know that's true, but the reason I have such a hard time is because I'm usually living 2 hours ahead. You know what I mean? How many of you right here, right now, are here right now? Or are you at the beach? Or are you barbecuing tonight's supper? That's what I mean, though. Right? Always, like, seriously, I'm literally all 2 hours. Like, I'm, you know, but you see what I mean? Paying attention. You know, the whole point, the whole beauty of the contemplative, of being learning to be present in the moment, is that you can pay attention. What is God doing right now, right here? I'm joining him. Joining him in that. Son can do nothing by himself. Jesus does only what he sees the Father doing. He didn't have superpowers. And that's the beauty of it. And he promises that we can do the same. In John 14, after he said that he's the way to the Father, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. Well, of course. If we're just looking to see what the Father's doing, is God capable of doing anything and greater things? Of course he is. Because, of course, you'll join the Father in whatever that you see the Father doing. The question becomes, how does this become our new normal? How do we get out of this old perspective into this new perspective, what the new reality is of the kingdom, that the kingdom has come? How do we do that? It takes discipline. We make shifts in our life. And we got to shift. I'm thinking right now, so how are we going to shift things here as a church? How do we do that? How do we shift things so that we discipline and discipline ourselves, and then it becomes normal? It's the way we just do things. That's hard, really hard. Statement Putty made, but it's the whole thing of as we look to see what the Father's doing, of course, we're afraid, right? In case if we step into something and pray for someone, or we just see what we think is the Father is working, and we're not sure, is this really the Father, or is this just me? Is that I haven't had enough coffee, or I've had too much, and I'm seeing things that aren't really happening, and we're afraid to take that chance, so it's easier to play it safe and to guard ourselves, right? That's how we live our lives. In this new way, this kingdom, it's not about the law that we get forgiveness. It's not about obeying the law and this. It's about faith. It's about faith in what Christ has done. It's about faith in what Christ says he has done and what he's accomplished in that, as we live in faith. And he asks the question, he says, faith is the natural posture of a new creation. And he says, I find this fascinating because we often work hard to avoid being in places that require faith. That's me. That's why I say I appreciate Putty, because he says the difficult things, right? I like that. Appreciate that. He says, we work and plan and strategize and do everything we can to keep from running to the end of ourselves. Many of us turn to God only as a last resort. He is our Hail Mary option. Someone we seek out only in the most dire of circumstances when there are no other options before us. So I've been asking God, like, why do I do that? I'm a man of faith. No, you're not. That's what the kingdom calls us to do. Put ourselves into that place of risk. Here's the thing as well, guys, and then we're going to wrap up. Here to earth, or joining God in what he is doing. I don't know what picture goes through your mind. But if it's evangelizing or prophesying or casting out demons or things like that, understand it's broader than that. It's much broader. It entails all of life. All of life. It's not just that. It doesn't take place in the confines of the church. This is a gathering place. The kingdom is what we do, and we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole thing. It's the method of the kingdom is the Holy Spirit that empowers you, and yet we trust in that, and that takes faith. We join him in doing that. Putty states, now, and I want you to hear, it's not about doing an outreach. It's not going out doing a food giveaway. It's not just serving in Urban Hope or doing things like that, because sometimes that's the picture we get and what we have to do, what it means to bring the kingdom. Putty states it well, the message of the kingdom of God applies to all aspects of society. The kingdom is bigger than healing, deliverance, or prophecy. It involves people growing in the wisdom of God and finding innovative solutions to the problems of society. It includes people coming into relationship with Jesus and broken families and relationships being made whole. It's the whole gamut. It's whatever you do, whatever you pursue in life, whatever it is you're going after. bring the kingdom. If you're a business owner, bring that into your business. If you work in a factory, doesn't matter. If you want to be a politician, bring that into your politics, right? Into how you treat people. Whatever that is, you bring that in. You bring it in.